Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Tuesday's News and Reviews on this Tuesday night. And I'll tell you what, I think summer came early because it was nice out today. And I've been out cleaning and getting everything dusted down. And I tell you, I enjoyed it. Hey, Russell. Hey, Ann. Hey, Ron. How y'all doing?
Doing well tonight. Really am. Sitting tight here in Houston. We're still working, thank goodness. Things are slowing down somewhat. Lots of big projects are being canceled.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting thing to watch happen here. Let everybody say hello, and then I want to share something with y'all that I came across today that really kind of shook me a little bit.
All righty. Hey, Ann, how you doing, my girl? Welcome back.
I'm really good. It's cold here in Texas, I think. It was cold. I went out this morning wearing shorts, and I was like, it's that cold. Everything's good. Obviously, I was made to live in quarantine. I'm perfect for this. Okay. So this has been wonderful for me. I love it. I'm perfectly happy
like
to
else.
Share my compound and never leave. Well, I'm a prepper.
So you're like everybody
so
else.
I'm
you're not climbing the walls.
No, because I set up a compound. So I have all these different buildings to have exercise and different things to do. And I've prepared for this my whole life. So it's just like, I love it.
Oh yeah. So same here. I'm actually never out of my house anyway, except when I need to go somewhere. I'm just watching everything else shut down, and I'm like, wow, and stuff. But I tell you what, I don't know what to think anymore. Hey, Ron, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. It's still snowing here.
You lucky
where I
dog.
Live anyways. And then we got a major
earthquake. Yeah,
we got a major earthquake. It hit Idaho, Montana, Washington, parts of Oregon. Sure they probably felt it in parts of Wyoming too, if I had to guess.
Now that just happened,
heard...
wasn't it, like about an hour ago.
Yeah, it was. It was just about an hour ago.
Derek Gibson with us. Go ahead, and I'll bring Derek on.
What happened? Because I was totally shocked when I saw that on social media, or just a few minutes ago,
Yeah.
Well, it was 6.5 was the epicenter. Something like 85 miles from Challis, Idaho, and it just kind of shook a whole lot all the way through northern Idaho, Montana, parts of Oregon, like I said, Washington, all
That's
over
all
the place.
Idaho.
It was a pretty big earthquake, really.
Maybe wow. Trump's blowing up them tunnels down there.
As far as big goes, we don't have giant earthquakes here. And also, that's a big region for it to shake up. I mean, that's a very big region.
Yeah.
I mean, California, they get earthquakes all the time. But.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been in many earthquakes out there, and especially that one that hit San Francisco back in the early 90s. If you remember where the bridge collapsed and everything, me and my dad had just crossed that with a load, and I was like, wow, shake, shadow, shake, rattle, and roll, as we say.
As big goes, for it to hit as many states and as much of an area as it did, that's a pretty big quake, you know what I mean?
Yep, it is. So something big is coming up, I can tell you that. Yep. Let me bring Derek
on. I would like to introduce Derek, if you don't mind.
All right. Yeah, sure.
So, Resistance Radio, I guess you have a new name now. I keep forgetting you changed the name of your show, even though I
Mega
up with
News
name.
Nation.
So, I would like Mega News. It was my idea. So, I would like to introduce y'all to our friend, Derek Gibson, who I discovered, by the way. Haha. And he is running for governor for New York, the state of New York. And so I want everybody to get his name out there. And is it Gibson for NYS governor.com? Is that right,
yes.
Derek? And you can find him, I think, on Twitter at Gibson NYS. It's for NYS, right? Gibson for NYS on Twitter.
Something like that. So, hey, Derek, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, man, doing fine. Yourself?
Oh, we're doing good. Enjoying, just kind of having fun with this quarantine for now, you know, up here in New Mexico and everything. And I just wanted to see if you can give us some updates on what's going on up there. And I'm going to fill you guys in on what's actually going on here. It's going to probably shock some of you and everything. But what's the situation actually really like hospitalized? I mean, are all the beds up there filled up like they're saying? Or should we believe what the media is telling us? Or...
Well, you know well as I do, you can't believe what the mainstream media say. And, you know, all those about the hospital overrunning lines around the block, you know, none of that is to be seen anywhere. And then, you know, CBS got caught up in the fake pictures from overseas talking about it was new,
right.
You know, so you can imagine, let your imagination run from now how the news media is carrying it. The fear around, fear mongering everybody. And hey, I know your voice on that, Annie. I heard you talking earlier. I said, my friend is on here. Yeah.
No, she just texted me and asked if I wanted to join in, and how could I say no? Because I'm doing nothing else but videotaping
right.
My cat. So.
Well, the reason why I asked you
my
that
my kitty
Mexico.
Cat, you nasty minded guys. I know how you are. My kitten, Sabrina, the liberal cat. So, Derek, listen, I want to ask you a question real quick before they jump on. So I just had Derek on my show, Wolfpack Radio, and it was such a pleasure to have you on my show. I really appreciate that. And we were discussing what was going on in New York with the corona, which I'm sure y'all get to, but I wanted to bring up one thing. I've been studying that ship, the Comfort, and I was watching a military a video, which was from the government. It was one of the, I guess, the Navy ones. And it was telling the history of the Mercy and the Comfort. And I think it was the Comfort that had – I get the two confused, so I may misspeak on what it is. But it was telling the whole history and how they helped with this humanitarian award, this humanitarian award. But it also said that it went to Haiti. And, Joseph, can you mute or something because you're staticking? So we also it said it went to Haiti and that it assisted in Haiti, but that it also assisted by taking 400 prisoners to Gitmo. Okay? And that is on a official website. That's just not any YouTuber that made that information up. That is from a government official video. That's 400 when they helped with the Haiti relief, 400 people to Gitmo. And so I have been really speculating. You know, I've been obsessed with these arrests. We noticed last night that there's also a ship in the harbor that it was inactive for a while, and they pulled it up. It's the U.S. naval ship, the Watson, and it's also there in New York. And we've been noticing a lot of activity going from harbor Pier 90, where the Comfort that's in New York, right? And there's this little bitty ship, and it's called the Sandy Hook. You can't make this stuff up. I have the photos. The Sandy Hook, and it's been going from the Watson to the Comfort and back. And so when they pulled up a picture of it, two people that were in the chat, myself and another guy, both at the same time, were like, wow, that looks like a Coast Guard. That looks like a Coast Guard, you know? And we both said that at the same time, so obviously it looked like a Coast Guard ship. But it's called, isn't that weird, the Sandy Hook of all things, right? And I just thought that was really weird that they're going back and forth, because if it's parked there at a pier, aren't y'all able to bring the patients and stuff that would need to be on that ship to the pier? You wouldn't transfer them by boat. I mean, you would bring them to the pier, right?
Correct. But you know, on the Comfort, it can't come, but so far it won't be able to come all the way up to the pier. Maybe stay back a little, because, you know, the cruise ships, if they come in where the cruise ships come in, maybe, you know. But otherwise, they would have to meet them out to sea a little bit. But, you know, the U.S. military is versatile. I heard you saying about the Haitian incident and all that going on. You know, the U.S. military is versatile. We can flip on a dime and do whatever we need to do, whatever needs to be done.
That's right. That's right. Bad boy.
Wheel, whatever, you know. So that's the U.S. military. That's a good thing about our military. But the corona situation is something that's serious. A lot of people not taking it very serious, but it is serious. But also arrests are being made. And I hope arrests is going to continue to be made for some of these big name people that did a lot of dirt during the Trump candidate and after the Trump candidate. So I hope people gonna be held accountable, so people start trusting the justice system once again. But the coronavirus, back to that, the coronavirus is something serious. It's very serious in the state of New York, and the reason it's so serious is because the leadership was too slow on doing what needed to be done, as far as shutting down the subway, shutting down the schools, and all that. Once it came out, you know, they was encouraging people to go ahead on about their lifestyle, continue to do what you do. So anything President Trump was saying, they were saying just the opposite of it. And, you know, it's now, it's showing that the correct leadership wasn't taken at that time, and now we're paying for it. So that just makes it how it is. But.
Right, and Kuma got caught, you know, with those supplies that he said he didn't have, and all of a sudden, a minute, we did have some supplies. You went and investigated that, if I remember correctly, and everything. And didn't you call him out on it?
I did. And the supplies was in the warehouse in Jersey, because a lot of stuff for New York City is kept in Jersey and warehouse. And he knew they was there. But he was just trying to it's called greed, trying to get more and more and more and more, you know. So they're playing like he didn't have anything at all. So, and he got President Trump tweeted about that. He got busted on that. But, you know, speaking about what such a good job he's doing, he should run for president. I'm like, who are these people? I want to know.
Right. Right. And what I was going to add to that, too, is that from what I'm hearing, is that during this, I think what's going on, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm hearing is going on with what you're saying, too, is that there is arrests being made as we are speaking, but it's not being spoken about with these big names and everything. So, you know, we're going to probably be seeing that. And I'm thinking, well, with the ships, naval ships being there, there's supposed to be a prison barge ship that's supposed to be somewhere in New York Harbor that's going to hit some of these big names in there and taking them to get a boat. And I could be wrong about that, but that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything. I just don't want to know, what is your thoughts on that? Do you think that could be what's going on too, or?
I haven't read too much into that. You know, I got law enforcement background and all that, so I haven't really heard nothing or seen nothing that's really convinced me that a lot of that is going on. You know, the big indictment came out on the Venezuelan guy and a couple of his proteges. So some dominoes going to fall behind that right in the U.S. also.
Right.
As you know, we got thousands of indictments.
Can I ask you something? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Derek, you're on my Twitter, and I usually am not. I don't have a big fan base on Twitter, but I got a tweet right now that last time I checked, it had gained like 20 extra tweets in just a couple minutes. So it's like about 625 tweets at least, retweets on it, just since I posted it, which is a lot. That's a lot of retweets, 600 and some retweets. You know, I'd never get like one or two. And I put on there that a friend of my husband's coworker, it's a black friend of ours. His name is Mookie. He's a really nice guy, and he's been a friend of ours for, I can't even remember not being, I was friends with him and my husband was friends with him. So both of our families have been friends with this guy for since I can remember. Well, his mother got sick up in New York, and she went in for diabetes, and I posted this in this tweet that she had to get some stents in her legs, and then she died, and then they turned around and said, oh, well, she died of corona, when they hadn't even told any of the children anything that she had corona. And I tweeted that about that, and that's the one that I've got like over 600-something retweets on, and people are just going off saying, well, this happened so-and-so, and this happened here, and this happened here. So it's turned into a really interesting thread, and they're saying that a lot of people that are dying of the corona, they're just labeling it. Then one more thing before I get off, I wanted to ask you about. They're also talking about all these freezers that are stacked up with all the dead people, but I told them, I said, they're like 500 people a day die in New York City anyway. So even if this virus wasn't going around, these people would still die. And then they see funerals right now, so they're having to freeze the bodies. And no one is talking that that's one of the factors, that it's not just all corona people, you know? And so we can't have funerals right now because you can't have a lot of people. So, I mean, that's contributing to it. No one's talking about that. But I think I saw that 500-something people die a day in New York City anyways, right? So I'll give it back to you. Those are what I wanted to bring to you.
Yeah. I heard a lot about that, and people going to the hospital for different things. They might even go for a heart attack, stroke, and they'll test them for corona, say they died of coronavirus. So they listen all that up, man. I don't know what's the circumstances behind this, what's in plan, why they doing all this, you know, what are the reasons, but it's definitely not truthful with the counts. It's definitely not truthful. It's something behind all of that. I've heard that and seen it in a whole lot of different threads. So just be mindful and be aware that things are not truthful. You just can't put your faith in a man. Just put it like that. You can't put your faith in a man. So, yeah, and right. By the media, anytime the media is on there telling you this, that, and millions and hundreds and thousands of people, that's a red flag right there. You should absolutely not. So,
yeah.
You know, just be careful.
Russell, you got anything you want to say, brother?
Yes, I wanted to ask Derek a question. This is I'm just going to throw this out there. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, Derek. But, I mean, since you're running for the governor of New York there and stuff like that, I find all this just a little bit too convenient, I guess would be a word for it. We have this virus break loose in China, Wuhan province there. Okay, they've been feeding us a line that it started at a wet market. That's pretty much been disproven. And then you have Saudi Arabia and Russia break out into this oil price war. And then you have the majority of the mainstream media, inclusive of Fox to a certain extent, just going above and beyond to fear mongers. Now, I've got a friend, childhood friend, who's a very well known trauma doctor internationally, travels, he teaches, and now I have no doubt that this virus is very, very real and that it is dangerous and there's people dying from it. That is, but all this just seems a little bit too convenient. And when you take into the fact that President Trump, who I might add, I think is doing an absolutely amazing job handling this sack of dung that he's been handed in this. But all this is just a little bit too convenient, especially when you have players involved in it, like China, who absolutely the last three administrations, I'm talking about from Clinton, inclusive of the Bushes and Obama and our Congress, that absolutely sold us out to China as far as production, pharmaceutical, the whole nine yards, sold us out for profit to line their own pockets. This is all just way, way too convenient, and I personally smell a rat in all this. What are your thoughts on that, if you care to answer that question?
Derek,
right,
you about to shift away from us.
I won't get too deep into it, but I'm pretty much on the same line, man. The cross is gone completely out of the door for just about anything now. So basically, people have to form their own opinion about things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what are your thoughts on that?
What was your exact question?
Well, I mean, don't you find all this stuff coming together, especially being inclusive of President Trump, who I said I think is doing a wonderful job.
This is definitely a biotech. Yes, it's definitely a biotech weapon. It's definitely
correct.
Way too 100%. Convenient. Now, what I think is that they set it out earlier, because I'm talking to Twitter and I'm getting – like, I put on there that I thought that a lot of people in Texas thought maybe they had let it out in December, early part of January, because we were all sick in Texas. Everyone, I mean, I can't tell you how hundreds of people is coming on my page saying, oh, wow, from all these different states, oh, we had it at the same time, December versus January was 666. And everyone had the same thing. So we're starting to think, okay, well, what did they set off some virus? And then they're trying to so hard to keep Trump in impeachment and keep the House and the Senate's hands tied. and they can't do anything when they're doing impeachment. They can't do anything. So if that would have been more effective, if they would have let it out sooner, then it would have made Trump really look bad because he wouldn't have been able to jump on it like he has done a tremendous job of doing what he's done. And so it totally backfired on him, and the fatality rate isn't as high as what they were hoping for. I definitely think the virus is real. I definitely think they let it out. I don't think it's as deadly as they wanted it to be, and that it's failing with them in a major way. And I don't think they expected the president to arise to the occasion that he has, and that's backfiring on him as well. But I definitely think that it's way – I don't – there is no coincidence. This happened. Everyone knows this happened on purpose. We know this. We're awake.
I agree with you on that. And what – I mean,
China released it on purpose. You know, China released that on purpose. Everybody knows that China released the virus on purpose. You know, President Trump been going hard at China. China wants some get back. That's all it is. So China released it, and it got completely out of control.
Because in my research, on China is damn good. And everyone knows that my research on China, that I'm obsessed with it. And it's the deep state. I showed you all in my videos and proof where these particular members of our government have been bought and are owned by China. So there's nothing China does that involves America that our deep state isn't involved in as just equally as their puppets. And, I can guarantee you that our government, not all of them, but obviously the crooked bastards that are owned by China – are in on that too. So it's not just China. It's
oh yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And I did listen to your China stuff there, and I thought you were spot on it. I thought you did an amazing job on that. And I've been listening to Governor Cuomo there in New York, and I really can't get a handle on where this guy is coming from because, is he trying to milk federal dollars out of it? Does he have some plans to run for higher office? It looks like he's doing the worst fear-mongering out of anybody involved in this. Am I wrong? Am I off on that?
No.
Everyone says that they're going to replace him on the ticket, replace Biden on the ticket, and put him on the ticket. But that's probably not going to happen. And Derek is going to take him off the map when he beats him for governor. Ha ha ha.
Well, I hope so.
Right.
Well, also,
and I just
the
ask, how are you doing on the polls there right now? Dirk, how you doing on the polls there in New York? I mean, are you pretty much dead?
I am doing very well. I have a lot of support, and the coronavirus threw a monkey wrench into, you know, the campaign and all that. But other than that, we're doing real fine on the on the polling. We the high percentage, and Cuomo is down at 8%. So we'll see how it goes. You know, we got time. I have time because the election is in 2022, so I really have time. It's just the people that they elected in November, the one that's going to really hurt. But as far as me, I am good so far. Yeah. Now, I think
Hear. That's good. Well, on one of the other reports I was going to bring up, I've been doing some investigations here in New Mexico and some other places. And I'm learning that here in New Mexico alone, we have three major hospitals, and neither one of them are full. All the beds are empty. They're not what the governor's claiming to be. And also in Maryland, it's the same thing. Beds over there are empty. Some places up in Louisiana and some other places where all this outbreak is supposed to happen, the beds are empty. So what the hell is going on?
And also, before you answer that, Derek, on the show the other night, I wanted to ask you the same thing that Joseph's talking about. President Trump had said that he was rapidly building three or four hospitals there in New York, okay, for y'all to get the assistance that y'all need so that the other hospital could work on the virus, you know. And now the comfort's there. So why does he even need the comfort with all these hospitals popping up? I mean, he's building four hospitals there, right?
Okay, again, that is New York. I know y'all not familiar with New York. I live there. I was born
there. I've never been there.
So it's New York. It's New York. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's new scam. That's what get all this stuff coming in. We get all kind of kickback. Just like Como said today, he ordered ventilators from China, but Remington wanted to make the ventilators American company, but he decided to order them from China. You know why he decided to order from China? Because they're getting a kickback. They're just like I spoke to before on your show about the trash cans in Harlem at $1,000 a piece when he could have got them for $500 a piece. I'm going to pick the man that's selling for $1,000 a piece because I'm getting a kickback. Those people are crooks, and they need to be in Guantanamo Bay. So as governor, I would have a task force to look in there, and I would recommend severe punishment for those leaders in the state of New York. I can't let it go. I will not let it go. If I'm elected governor, I'm going to have a task force to investigate. Why would we take our money and spend it with China at this time when China really released this bio weapon on us? Why would we do that? Why would we spend our money with American come? Just like I said, I asked for like 50 million masks, and I emailed them because they sent the number out. New York in desperate need for them. Never heard back from New York. I can get them for $2 a mask, all that. It's foolishness. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's more to it than what that.
Yeah, What's funny, Derek, is that it's all the blue states are doing this. Even New Mexico, all the blue states are doing this. You don't see none of the Republican states doing it.
Nope.
Yeah. You know?
It's bad.
So, I mean, something smells and it doesn't add up, you know? And we'll be doing some more investigations. And, Ron, you got anything you want to say to Derek? You know, you've been quiet.
No, not directly to Derek, but just in general, is that, well, Derek, I do hope you win. I mean, it'd be nice if New York didn't have a libtard governor that would be great.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, correct.
But also, people shouldn't be shocked that numbers are higher in bigger cities with this coronavirus.
No, of course not.
It's a condensed area full of people stacked on top of people stacked on top of people. The numbers are always going to be higher in those places.
Yeah, and that's why I said in my opening that from day one, the sewer waste system should have been shut down. The school system should have been shut down because it's condensed. Everybody is back to back. You can't walk the street without rubbing elbows with someone. So that was just common sense. Instead of playing around with it, we would shut it down. We wouldn't be the epicenter of this thing right now. We had done that. And Queens, where I live, is the epicenter. Epicenter right there where I live in Queens, which is crazy, man. It's not crowded as Manhattan, but it's right there in Queens because everybody goes to Manhattan, do whatever their business, and they come back. So, and it just happened to be right there in the area I live in.
Right. Well,
right.
Like, you know, for instance, my old county that I live in, which is a big county spread out through the mountains, has 16,000 people in it. You guys have that in three blocks in New York. You know what I mean? So that's a big difference right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, that's correct.
So anyway, like I was saying, I mean, a lot of this doesn't add up. And I've talked to some friends. I got one friend whose husband is in the intel in the high ups. And he's been off since this all started and everything. But he feels he doesn't really quite know what's going on. But he feels that what Russell was saying before is that this is probably a white ops operation, but we're going to see a lot of arrests coming and everything. And I'm like, well, you know, we're dragged right in the middle of all this too. And I'm thinking that Trump is doing this and he's going to catch all these blue states. He's going to catch them all off guard and arrest them. And I think that's what he's doing. You know, what is your thoughts?
Well, I don't think we can just hope that happens. We just hope
right,
that happens.
Right, right.
So
and Russell,
there were reports of the military, of the actual military going in. People were saying that they were going door to door in New Jersey looking for people who had violated some kind of, right outside of New York, that had violated some leaving New York, the stay at home stuff. But I don't believe that. They're not going to use the military for that. I just don't buy that at all. So it looked to me like there was some activity because there were some reports on that on social media. So, anyways, it looks to me like the New York governor is handing you the governorship on a platter. He just keeps screwing up. He lies about the ventilators. He hires another company besides Remington. I mean, essentially, Derek, I mean, are you even going to need any donations for campaign? Because it sounds to me like you got it in the bag. Can you go ahead and give them your
right.
your website well, for your
yes.
your website?
Yes, it's mine to lose. At this point, it's mine to lose at this point. You know, no one else is in the race but me and him. So, but others will get into the race. But I think I got an early start, and I'm doing fairly well. So, hopefully, you know, it'll continue going that right but route. But if anyone wants to donate, they can go to my website, and that's GibsonForNYSGovernor.com, and you can donate that 5, 10, 20, whatever you want to donate, and it'll really be appreciated. It takes a lot of money to get yourself out there, get your face out there, get your yard signs and all that. So I would appreciate any amount of donation that you feel you are able to do for me. But we're doing a grassroots campaign, and I'm going to visit all 62 counties of the in the state of New York, which I would have been way into if the coronavirus thing hadn't came out. I would have been out doing that as we
yeah.
speak. But right now, everything is at a standstill. So, but anyway, the good Lord is in charge of everything. So we're just going to keep it right there and just keep pushing.
Right.
Well,
just don't forget us.
I might be able to come up there for like maybe like a week or two and volunteer and work on your campaign when it starts getting closer to the time, you know. I'm a pretty good speaker, so.
That would be nice.
Okay.
We'd love to have you.
Go ahead, Russell.
I wanted to touch a little bit on what y'all are talking about, you know, the close vicinity and stuff like that. I'm here in the Houston, Texas area, okay? And we're talking about 6 million people here in this area. And we've only got 200. The last numbers I heard were 220 cases in Houston and another 200 in Harris County and then the surrounding counties and stuff like that. We've only got about 500 cases here in the Houston area, and that number's been holding pretty steady at that. So I'm wondering what the difference is between what's going on in New York and here in Texas. I mean, when they came out,
there's a 23,000. It was 23,000 last week, so I'm not telling what it is now. But last week it was 23,165 cases and 365 deaths, and that was last week when I did the show. So there's a lot.
It's way up now. It's way up
today here, right? And today here,
but we're not. But my point is that we're not seeing a big curve or spike in cases here in Houston. Now, we were told. I mean, they shut everything down here in Houston on the 19th. I'm essential personnel, so I'm out there in it every day, going to work and stuff like that. And for the most part, the people here are following what they were asked to do. And I just don't understand what the difference in the spike in that would be, because Houston, like New York, is a major travel hub. We have the Port of Houston here, which I think is the largest port in the United States. And we have,
you know, New York people.
So anybody got
in.
Any thoughts on that? So, you know, anybody got
people,
any thoughts on that?
People are flying in and out the around the world to New York. So everybody's coming basically to New York, where the Statue of Liberty is. So that's why there's so many cases and it spread it so fast. A lot of infection came like that because everybody comes to New York from around the world. They come to New York and then they go everywhere else in the U.S. So that's why, you know, it spreads so fast. I would say that also.
So, also, isn't Houston a little bit spread out as well? Where New York is so condensed into such a small space with so many people.
It's not as condensed as New York is, but as I said, the airport, Houston Intercontinental, we have literally hundreds upon hundreds of flights every day, international flights coming in and out. And there's tourist attractions all through the area and stuff like that. But like I said, the numbers that I've heard, and those were probably yesterday numbers and stuff like that. I've been semi-keeping a pretty close eye on it, but we just have not had the infection rate here as they've had in other places.
Well, also, so the condensed part, though, I think does make a difference in a way because, like, if you cough in the air, right, in New York, those little droplets stay in the air for just a few minutes. But in that few minutes in New York, I mean, you might hit, what, 30 people? Maybe more?
Well, I guess versus, they could be, you know. Now, they had some MIT, they had some MIT researcher come out today that said if somebody does a hard sneeze or hard cough and doesn't cover their mouth or whatever, that those particles can actually travel up to 27 feet. Now, I don't know if that's been reviewed or whatever, but they were sure running with that today on the fear-mongering networks there. So, you know,
27 feet.
Did anybody else hear that?
No, 27 feet in New York is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, while here in New Mexico, today the update is 226. Confirmed. They've had 30 of them that came down that got cured, you know, and everything. Only had 20 so far that's in the hospital, and 4 died. That's what the numbers are over here.
Well, last time here in Texas, now they may have changed some because I understand Dallas is turning into a hot zone there. But the last numbers I heard here in Texas. And Texas is a really big state. I think, what is it, 28 million people?
I have no idea. It's huge.
28 million citizens. And we only had, the last numbers I heard was 1,300 plus cases statewide.
Are you counting the legal or all the people that are actually here or the people they say are here? Because that makes a difference.
The people they say are here.
Well, Derek's got to leave us and everything, and I just want to say thank you for coming on the show, and don't forget us when you become governor. We'll come in there and we'll broadcast your acceptance speech and everything, so we'll be your news media coverage.
Thank you. Of course not. I will never forget my friend. Yeah. I would never forget y'all on the front line with me.
Right.
We love you, Derek. We
love
you,
Derek. Good luck. God bless and carry on. Carry on.
Thank you, and y'all have a great night.
All right. You too, brother. Be careful out there.
With her.
But anyway, I'll tell you what, man, this is, like I was saying earlier, and I was talking to my roommate, you know, none of this stuff really adds up on the numbers and everything else, because, like, we're getting different things from the media, blowing things out there out of proportion, and like he said, that thing with Italy, you know, with them, what they did to New York with all the coffins, that's what he was talking about. That was actually from Italy, not New York. You know, that's where they got caught.
Let me tell you what my thoughts are. Y'all can make fun of me and my tinfoil hat and all that. This is
it's aluminum. It's aluminum. Okay.
It's aluminum. Okay. But in my opinion, this is absolutely, and I'm not, please, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not denying that this coronavirus is real and it is dangerous, okay? As Ann said, I don't think it had the effect they thought it was going to, but there are still people dying here, and there's still people that need the answer to for that. But this is the biggest psyop ever perpetrated on mankind, and you have China, our so-called ally, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and our deep state here, all involved in it, doing everything humanly possible to bring down the United States economy. All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is their last guess, their last big hope, and I think it's sailing. I am so thankful that President Trump is in office right now. Could you imagine what one of these politicians would have done? Thank God we have a friggin' CEO running the helm of the country now. And there's a lot of people this and that about the $2 trillion bill that was passed. And I do have some issues with it, but you got to understand, to get what Trump needed, he had to give those assholes some stuff. That's just the way it works. And he did not have the time that it would took to tell them to go screw themselves. He needed to get help out to these small businesses and the American people, and I think he did an outstanding job on that. But you have to keep in consideration, all right, as I said earlier in the show, since the Clinton administration, inclusive of Bush and Obama, our Congress and the deep state has steadily sold us out to China for the banksters, for the cheap labor and all that kind of stuff. They decimated U.S. manufacturing, all right? Then you have the Saudis jump in, and it's just way too convenient. This virus hit, and then this big oil price war breaks out between China and Russia. It's just way too convenient. It doesn't add up. And ladies and gentlemen, I think as American citizens, we need to be ready to do whatever it's necessary for us to do to support our president, because right now they're doing everything humanly possible to bring our country down. That is my opinion, and I know Ann has done buku research on China. Am I way off base?
Oh, you're exactly what's going on. China and the deep state are working to tear down our economy, but it's not working because Trump anticipated this. And I know not everyone follows Q, but Q said a while back, we have the gold. And, you know, Trump has been wanting to eliminate the Fed, to get rid of the Fed. All the way since Kennedy, they've been wanting to get rid of the Fed. And right now, it's major. It's actually a reconstruction ending of our economy. And Trump is actually, it will be abolishing the Fed is what's going to end up happening with this. And he's already made steps towards that. And so that's just not even a conspiracy now. That's just a fact. And so I really expect us to go back to the gold standard. And I think that things are going to be a lot better for the American people and for the world once we get these corrupt bankers and this fraud money system gone. I mean,
right.
It's going to
and
be a lot different. It's going to make everything different.
Well, and that's what I was saying, Ann. We could not have a better man at the helm of this country going through what we are now than President Trump. We have a CEO, a man who has built companies, has built things, turned himself into a multi-billionaire, and if we had a politician running the country right now, it would be over. And Trump has done an amazing job, and he is absolutely the one hope that we have to come out of this. So, America, we need to get behind him. Don't fall for the fear-mongering. Respect the virus. It is real, okay? And if you have underlying health problems and stuff like that, there's a good chance it will kill you, okay? So if that's very real. But at the other hand, a lot of this is way overblown. It's fear-mongering, and we need to get behind our president on this and stand behind him, locked arm in arm, in my opinion.
What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, there is a lot of fear-mongering going on. There is a lot of fear-mongering going on. I actually ended up calling out a nurse online today in Idaho for doing that. And I was like, well, then what's the numbers? Because she's down in this part of Idaho, pretty far from me, you know what I mean? So it's not like I just drive by the hospital and confirm anything. You know what I'm saying? Not about driving 7.5 hours. But, you know, I was like, well, if you're going to get out here and you're going to say all this and talk trash to all these people, I said, then you need to produce some numbers. I said, how many are sick? How many are actually the coronavirus? How many deaths have there been? How many people are actually on ventilators right now? And so forth, you know, because they keep saying all this, but then you check in with the hospitals and it's not at all what these people are saying.
Exactly.
And she goes, "Why I can't?"
I got a question I want to ask, and I've been hearing this and that here and there. What the hell is supposed to happen on the 20th?
You mean on the first?
More.
Okay,
huh?
The 20th of April. The 20th of April has been a whole lot of Q posts. And what it's, if it keeps saying 4, 10, 20. But if you look at the alphabet, DJT is 4, 10, 20. So these Trumps have almost been signed by Trump at 4, 10, 20. And so Trump has also said that is, that's Good Friday, okay? That day falls on Good Friday. And Trump has been saying that Easter's a real special time. It's very special to him and that he's wanting this to be all over with by Easter, okay? And so what we're thinking that that is a calm from him saying that the rest will be done by Easter. Now, what we've been anticipating is the 10-day of darkness, which would have probably start, we're thinking, April 1st. Tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? It's April 1st.
Yeah.
I think it is. I lose track of days in Courtney. And so I'm actually, that's why I told Joseph I couldn't do but half the show because I have to finish downloading all my Q posts offline because Q has told us to archive offline. And so they had told us from like the 30th or 40th post that Q did, and he has over 3,000 posts, that there was going to be a scare tactic and that it had to be done and the military was going to be brought in. And he's alluding to 10 days of darkness. And he's made little comments like learn how to arc offline. We've never thought that it meant 10 days of absolute darkness. We thought it meant a social media internet cut off. And because, you know, everyone would think that because of the presidential alert that he did right off the bat, right? And so we're expecting these arrests to go down. And when it does, that the TVs and the internet and the phones, except for 911, is going to be gone. And all you're going to be able to do is get updates. We've heard rumors that they're going to be 8-hour broadcast a day. So the 8-hour one would loop 3 times. And where they're doing, I don't know, telling what arrests they are or confessions or I don't know what it is. But so that's what we really think is going to happen. I don't know if it's for sure. I've heard other reports that it may just be 3, which makes no sense. But now today it was very interesting because I was listening to Dabu 7, which I'm sure all of y'all follow him on YouTube, Dabu 7, right? And so so Dabu was saying that over in Europe that they were warning everybody that they might have like a 10-day, 2-week blackout period with no electricity and for the warning them that they might have a time of darkness. And I was like, whoa, what are the odds that that came out today on YouTube? Well, we've just been telling everybody this is fixing to go down, you know? And so I'm really super amped. So if you don't get internet or cable or you can't use your phone, do not be scared. Go get you a glass of vodka, even if you don't drink, and celebrate because it's going down. I'm yelling timber. Woo, it's going to go down. I think that's what's happening. I'm excited.
Okay, I was curious as to what that was. Like I said, I've been hearing different people relating to that date and stuff. So it's actually April 10th of 20, not the 20th of April.
Correct. It's 4-10-20, which is actually the date this year of Good Friday. And it's also DJT for Donald J. Trump. It's also been in many Q posts.
Okay,
we think it's going to go down.
Let me ask all y'all a question. And we've seen a lot of this in Texas, and then I don't know whether it was New York or California. There was a store clerk that was staying in the store and stuff like that, and some thugs broke in, tried to rob it, and I think he shot one or two of them, and they put him in jail with no bail. Now, let me tell you what's been going on here in Texas. They've been turning these violent criminals loose. We had a judge here in Houston, Antonio Brown, who was petitioned by a Harris County inmate who was being held for shooting a man in the back of the head, execution style. All right? He petitioned this judge that he was scared that he was going to get the coronavirus, and the judge released him, no bail, no ankle monitor, no nothing. So the witnesses to that case are now in dire danger, and I've been hearing this is happening all over the place, that they are releasing these criminals.
They're only releasing the violent ones in Democratic counties, though. Look what happened to Houston. Aren't y'all still Democratic? Houston's Democratic, right?
Houston's one of the biggest liberal shitholes next to Dallas.
I mean, no offense, Russell, but they reap what they sow, okay? They voted
Democrat, exactly.
Just like New Mexico, and then you wonder why the hell this is going on. But you see common sense, like Greg Abbott for the state of Texas, who's saying he's not going to let the violent people out. So, you know, Greg Abbott just signed something about that just today, that he doesn't believe in that, you know? So he's not letting violent people out.
But
the Democrats are doing it anyway.
But there's some things about Greg Abbott that really sit wrong with me, too. And I don't know whether it's his lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, or what it is. But constitutional carry got shot down. He wouldn't even bring it to the floor. Now, the Speaker of the House, Bonin, whatever his name was, I understand that he's gone or he's stepping down or whatever because he knows he doesn't have a chance in hell of getting reelected. But there's some really weird shit going on in Austin that doesn't add up. And Abbott hasn't been real clear on where he is on any of this stuff. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of wondering what's up there. Do you get the same vibe, Ann, or am I just being paranoid?
I don't know. I was just looking at a Twitter post where this one guy in another state was like, I would give anything to have Greg Abbott as my governor, you know? And so I just feel real – I'm pretty much like Greg Abbott, like I am with Trump. He just can do no wrong. I didn't even know about the constitutional carry, but I wouldn't be surprised if riots or violence started taking over because of this. I just saw this done in another state. And if I saw it, I know Abbott saw it, where a governor just wrote in immediate constitutional carry for their state, okay, and overrode everything. So I have no doubt in my mind that if it starts getting really violent here because of the mass arrest, that Greg Abbott would storm in on his little white horse, you know, and sign it and make it a constitutional carry, be the hero, and win the whole right. So he's probably waiting because timing is everything, and he has to have a real crisis if he can come in and just do that like this other governor just set a precedence by doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he saw that.
Okay. All right. I'll roll with that. So maybe I'm just being paranoid and stuff. But like I said, Ann knows better than anybody else when it comes to a lot of this stuff. I am a one-trick pony. All right. And my big thing is the Second Amendment because in my heart, in my soul, in my brain, in the core of my being, I know that without the Second Amendment, we don't have any of the other rights guaranteed in the Constitution. And so I tend to be a one-trick pony on that. And, that's probably just me then. I'll say it's just me tricking out.
Right. Well, let's get close to the time. So you guys want to go on for an hour?
I want to say something to Russell. Just the fact that Russell is sitting here just claiming how brilliant Trump is and to be grateful that we have him here, that's a long road for Russell because Russell was a cruise bot, okay? And I loved it. The group I hung around with, we all liked Ted Cruz. And I did not like Ted Cruz for a long time, but he has won me back over because he has I think Trump spanked him into shape and he's acting pretty good now. But and I've been real proud of the job Ted Cruz has been doing lately. But so I felt kind of about the same way as Cruz with this love-hate relationship as I've seen Russell go through with Trump. But I think Trump's finally winning him over. Now my next mission in life is to turn him back into liking Barr, and that's going to be a real bet. Russell, listen to this, okay? Listen to this. Put your aluminum hat on. It's not a tin hat. It's aluminum. Put your aluminum hat on, okay? And let's just go down this rabbit hole real quick before break. A.G. Barr and Durham go over to Italy, okay? They conduct business there. Right after that, all this stuff goes down, and Italy locks down, and they have this big, giant thing of coronavirus, which a lot of us believe that a lot of people that they're saying have corona do not have corona, but in fact, that they're just using that as a cover for an arrest, okay, or a home arrest, or, you know, that they've been indicted, whatever. It's a way out. And so, which is interesting because the governor of New York's brother just got that. He's probably coming too. Well, anyways, so they've been doing all this stuff going on in Italy, right? So there, I have to send you this video. So it's a live video from one of the news agents in Italy, and they're reporting about the corona deaths in Italy. And so she's saying something about the corona cases, and instead of saying the cases, she says there's been over 8,000 arrests
And then she goes, and then she had to correct herself and go back to the virus. But she point blank said over 8,000 arrests. So that I find very interesting, because that didn't seem like a Freudian slip, because what she was talking about had nothing to do with that. So where did arrests come from, you know? So I'm wondering if something's not really going down, you know, worldwide. And if you're going to be arresting all these pedophiles, it's always going to go back to the Catholic Church. You know, I'm sorry, but that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about this big economic slam that we're going through and arresting pedophiles, how could the Vatican not be mentioned or involved, you know, when we all know what these priests have been doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much worse. It's so much worse with the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, and the illegal funneling of monies. And the things that they actually do are quite dirty. And I know a lot of good, really great Catholic people. So I don't mean this any way offensive to your religion. However, the higher-ups, and they're corrupt just like the deep state are in America, you know, and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had to get that out there. But, Russell, it's true, right? We are warming up to President Trump finally. Yay.
Yes, that is 100% true. Like I said, you know, I'm a one-trick pony when it comes to the Second Amendment. That's my big thing in life. But set that aside, I do believe that President Trump has done it's nothing short of amazing what he's done, because I don't think there's another person on the planet that could have brought the private sector into this, cut the regulations, cut through the bullshit, and got the things rolling the way he has on this thing. It's been absolutely amazing to watch. And I, just speaking for myself, I'm just absolutely grateful,
you know what, it,
that
reminds,
we have a CEO,
yeah, it's wonderful,
at the
but,
helm of this thing.
In a way, it's like having Ronald Reagan again.
Joseph, let me finish this. Well, it's like in World War II when they were able to tap in and all the Americans came together and the women were in the factories working, and it brought America, and it ended up giving us the greatest generation that we ever had, you know? And to me, in my lifetime, this is the first time that I've seen somebody be able to do something to that magnitude where, like you said, he's bringing in the private sector and everything and putting all these people in to come in and to help America through this crisis, with Americans helping Americans. And it has just been an absolute beautiful thing, and I really believe when you have a president that puts Christ in his life, this is some of the rewards that you do see, you know, these blessings.
Well, yeah,
because I guarantee this man could not have done this without God. I guarantee you that. He is definitely anointed.
And to that point, too, he's got two of the biggest libtards in the country praising him. Newsom in California and Cuomo in New York. I mean, that's unheard of for the last 30 years, that split there between the left and the right. And, you know, that's got to be divine intervention. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, divine intervention or military intervention. Because why are they doing that? Because, you know what, that's just not right for them to do that. Because you know that they're owned, and you know they're going to pay for that. Because their handlers are never going to allow them to do something like that. So why are they doing that? What is it? I don't mean to sound vulgar, but it sounds to me like Trump has them by the balls. And
yeah,
he's
it does.
Forced them
it really does.
Say this. So something is going on. They may be terrified.
Well, that's why I keep saying, that's why I keep saying, and everybody jumps on me that it's not right. I think there's going to be major arrests. We're seeing it. And I think probably by, and this is why he wants this to end, giving it to the 30th of April. And he wants to celebrate the 4th of July like we never had celebrated before. He's telling us that he's going to free us from these slave owners. We're going to be free. He's trying
well,
to free
us. I really would like to believe that and stuff. And I hear people talking about these arrests, major arrests, but I haven't seen anything that I would consider a major arrest at this point.
Russell,
you know, I mean,
all right, Russell, but let me ask you a question. Don't you remember in the primary that Trump very specifically said, Obama's stupid. Obama always shows his hand. You will never see Trump show his hand. Don't you remember that? And you and I are both extremely tactical. So you know that Trump studies the art of war. And you know the whole art of war is to be able to go in, defeat your enemy, and have zero collateral loss. And what is he doing? This is the most covert, silent, no leaks, military run, I think, in the history of the world. It is going to be amazing. It fits, Russell. Think about it. When you think tactically, you to have a really great war and win bigly, like huge, like Donald Trump would say, you wouldn't want leaks. You wouldn't want, you want your military plan to go, your op to go the way it's supposed to go.
Right. I fully agree with you on that 100%. But, I mean, people keep talking about the arrests that have been made at this point. What are those arrests? Who are those people?
I have an idea. Now, this sounds totally stupid. This is the most stupid conspiracy thing you've probably ever heard in your life. But all the people that we keep thinking that he's arrested, all of a sudden, all their Twitter bans are blank. There's no background picture. They're just totally blank. And Q had posted a post with nothing but a blank thing. You know, so just blank. Just like their Twitter pages. And so we were speculating that Tom Hanks would be one of the first anons thought that because of some Q drops that Tom Hanks would be one of the first arrested. Okay, that's what we thought. So when he
and
got coronavirus first, we were like, oh, wow, Tom Hanks just got corona. We already thought he was going to get arrested, and we got all excited. Well, then there's pictures of him flying into America, forced back in because he didn't want to come back from Australia. And there's actually – and you can zoom in and see the Marine tag. I may be wrong, but it shows the different military tags and which one is. And you zoom in and see. And he's got his hands in the air, and it looks like two federal agents. So I don't know. I mean, it could have been Photoshop, but didn't look Photoshop. And so I went and looked at, like, Tony Podesta. I think his tag was still up, but I think it was John Podesta's is blank. And there's so many. There's like 100 of them that are like that. So it's really kind of strange, you know. And I know that sounds really strange, but it's almost like, whoa, what the hell, you know?
So you're saying their Twitter profiles or whatever like that are the pictures are blank? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Now you have to remember that Q trolls Twitter. Q is always posting Twitter posts. He's always putting Twitter. Some people are like, maybe I'll make a tweet and he sees it. He'll put it on there, and then he'll write about it, or he'll just post it. And so he's always on – Q trolls Twitter, and Donald Trump is on Twitter. And so, and so you'll see this all the time and constantly, nonstop. And you don't see any other Facebook or anything like that on Q posts. You only see Twitter. So that's kind of relevant with this, you know. So you've got Donald Trump and Q both use Twitter. And so Twitter's really where it's at right now. And so, yeah, this ban thing is really strange because if you put in – I've got a list. I don't have it available. I wasn't prepared to do the show tonight. I actually have a list. There's like 100 of them, and it's really creepy when you see it. You're like, oh, my God, what the hell, you know. You can't help but notice that it's very strange because it's these certain people, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
I'll send you the link. I actually have a thread on it. So I was a step ahead of that. So, and also Q had told us, he said, watch the waters. And he had said, he kept putting the cross and then two crosses and then three crosses. And so when you look at the mercy and you look at the comfort, I noticed that one of the ships has two crosses on the side of it and the other ship has three crosses on the side of it. So I'm like, woo, you know, what the hell, right? So I was kind of curious. I was like, I wonder if that – I don't know if that's what that means or not, but I'm kind of excited about that. Like I said, we've got this guy, and they call them bags, like boat flags or flat flags, bags that are chant, and they study flight paths and boats and boat patterns and where they go, and they make maps of them, and they're very good at what they do. It's amazing what they find out, you know? And they have Navy, what's it called, the Watson, is in New York, as well as the Comfort. And there's this boat, like I said earlier, it looks just like a Coast Guard, but it's obviously everything's taken down from Coast Guard, but the shape of it looks like the Coast Guard boat, a little Coast Guard boat. And it's going back and forth from this Comfort to this Watson, which is rumored to be a prison ship. So I don't know. But we actually, I have the map. I can text them to you. I actually have the actual maps of it showing their trips. And it's weird that this boat's called the Sandy Hook, isn't it? Don't y'all find that peculiar?
You're right. That is odd.
I mean, that's very curious, right? I mean, that catches your attention. You're like, what the hell, right? And so I'm kind of thinking, what the hell is going on with these boats? And I'm really excited because I'm like, when I saw that military video showing that it was either the Comfort or the Mercy had taken those 400 people to get them, I'm like, oh, wow, they've done this before, you know, so this isn't their first rodeo. So that's not preposterous to think that they could be doing a humanitarian effort and taking people to Gitmo because they did it during Haiti. So that makes me super amped. And then I just saw shit tons of military rolling into Houston. I'm like, oh, these dirty Democrats are fixing to go down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tons. There's a video out with tons of tanks rolling into Houston, Texas. I've got my Glock right here, chambered, and my AR chambered. We're ready, just in case these riots happen.
Well, you know, exactly, and I haven't seen any unusual activity in the National Guard areas or anything in that here. But the other day, I was headed to a job and got caught at a train crossing, and that is one of the longest trains that I have ever seen roll through here. And it was nothing but military equipment, and it was headed west. So I don't know where it was going. I don't know if it was going to the base in San Antonio or if it was moving further west than that. But I did lay eyes on that eyewitness to that it was one of the longest trains I have seen in a very long time, and it was nothing but military
going on.
Equipment.
Right.
All I can say is that we better pray to God that it's arrest. We better pray to God that it's arrest and that they're not anticipating an invasion from, or rather infiltration already, but an attack from another attack, physical attack from China, which could be real possible with them staging all these military vehicles and stuff. You know, that's kind of disturbing.
Well,
China,
you know,
is a real viable threat. The other day, Q posted infiltration versus invasion. And I've been saying ever since that China video how many thousands they've had the port of Long Beach since Clinton. Oh, the second largest container ship port in the world. Do you know how many Chinese could be hidden in this country? We could
be
in trouble.
Well, and let's not forget, and I've been saying this forever, and people have blasted me and scoffed at me and everything else about it, that look at Venezuela, look what's going on, South America and stuff like that. If this was to happen, I would not be a bit surprised to see them come across our southern border, absolutely something along the red lines of a red dawn thing.
Right, and they just caught a bunch of Chinese crossing not too long ago. Just up there in the California part of the border.
Most of them you're not going to see because they're coming into they're coming in through underground tunnels, and I think that Trump has been blowing these tunnels up for 2 years. And I've been saying on the show for 2 years that all these booms that you're hearing is Trump taking out the deep state tunnels. Like he says, there will be no place for them to run and to hide, you know, and to walk down the street. So we know about the Mexican border. That's why Trump's worked so hard. And I've heard that he's built 40 miles of border just since his quarantine's been going on. So he's not stopping that work. It's still going on. And he knows about our ports. He has us secured. He's obviously sending all this military to other big ports. So, I mean, you look at the cities that have high Democratic populations and high criminal activities, and they're always associated with ports. And, you know, there are large cities associated with ports. That's just how it is. And you'll see these every time we vote, that this is going all blue, you know. And so it's no surprise that, one, you have the highest corona rate in these particular demographics. You have this also the risk of, you know, an uprising and danger happening in these as well. And you also have easier infiltration in these areas. So,
and exactly, and Houston, is, if not the largest, one of the largest ports in the nation. And where, if you wanted to take down the nation as quick as possible, what would you do? You would hit all those plants here along the coast in Houston. You know, Mount Bell.
Oh, actually, I didn't. If you remember my China video, I laid that out, that they were going to take over the West Coast and that they would attack the East Coast. Remember, I put there about the everybody says that aquifers wrong, and they got on me. But the water tables there are mostly not as many on the East Coast as there are on the West Coast, and they've already heavily bought land and infiltrated the West Coast. Plus, you have your seismic activities, which is higher on the West Coast, that could affect the Ring of Fire and produce tsunamis and other bad stuff to China, since you share the Pacific Ocean. No, they'll definitely strike the East Coast the hardest, because the East Coast has, it also has some good little earthquakes there that they could do a lot of damage, and it could also affect Europe and the Mediterranean, which I'm sure they want to hit at the same time. If they do, you know, it would only be logical. I mean, why would they strike one and not strike the allies as well, you know? So they could cripple the allies also at the same time. I laid that out on my China video. It makes common sense. They had it blocked in. They had us blocked in the maritime chokehold. And they actually had this huge, deep base, submarine base in this little island right off of Florida. And that damn Hurricane Doreen literally sat like 12 hours on top of this one particular island and just demolished that submarine base. And China owned that, and it was literally just miles from Florida. And a lot of people didn't even realize that China owned a port right there beside Florida. So they had us boxed in. They owned two going right down in Mexico, plus they owned the port of Long Beach until Trump made them give it up in May. And so that transitioned over through the summer. So, you know, the China's really pissed off that we took their port away from them. And none of the media is talking about this. You know, they're saying, oh, they're mad because of the tariff. They're mad because they got their port that they've had since the 90s taken away from them. And they've had access to every criminal activity in the world and being able to infiltrate us easily with the container port, including the club trained weapon. And that scares the hell out of me. The second largest container port in the world, owned by China in America, and you've got all these Club K weapons that look just like containers. They are containers that open up, and the top comes up, and middles come out. And they have all these container homes that you just boom down the side of them, and they're instant homes. People should be careful, because every we have out here in Texas has one of the containers on the property. And any of them, we don't know our neighbors. We don't talk to our neighbors. People in the country, we don't want to talk to our neighbors. We're not like that, you know. Mm-hmm. We're very seldom do, you know. Mm-hmm. We did because of Corona. I went and checked on them, but that just doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I don't know what people think in the city, but in the country, we're not like that. You know, we stay off each other's property and out of our business. So who owns these farms, and what are these containers? It's kind of terrifying when you start looking at them. We could be in some really serious trouble, a lot worse than Corona. Corona could be a distraction, but I still think it's the deep state arrest.
I did the track on that, but to throw, I think you have to throw south, you have to throw southeast Texas into that, because, you can invade the ports and stuff like that, but to really cripple us, you'd have to cut off the fuel supplies to our military and stuff, and you would do that right here in this area and all those refineries.
Oh, I never thought about that. You're sure right. I would lose all my money, because that's the only money I have is from oil wells. It would mess me up, Russell.
But, you know, seriously, right? Like I said, I think Houston is the biggest port in the world at this point. Don't quote me on that, because I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't planning on talking about this, so I didn't pull any of that up. But it is definitely one of the largest ports in the United States. Container ships by the Boohoo come through here. And the same thing, if you hit the East and West Coast and took out our refineries, you would absolutely cripple our ability to fight. It would be over. We couldn't fuel our equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
So, with that being said,
I really enjoyed
being on here with you guys. I can't stay for the second hour because I really have to get my stuff. I really.
Well, we're past the second hour, believe it or not. We're past the second hour and almost running out of time. We went to 2 hours.
Wow.
That was actually good. I like that. That was good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I have to agree. There's something major is going on, and you know, Trump doesn't want to worry us. And, again, you know, like I said before, he's wanting all of us in our homes safe or whatever he's fixing to plan or do. He just wants us all home safe. He doesn't want no Americans hurt. You know, we'll have to see what's going to happen.
I don't know, because if Ann's right about this dark out, the minute that happens, you better be locked and loaded, because every nefarious group out there, criminal and everything else, they're going to see that as their opportunity to have their way, and you better be ready to defend yourself, those your love, and your property. And that's kind of my thoughts on it, and I think Trump's smart enough to know that, but I also think President Trump is smart enough to know that the American people, as a majority, isn't going to stand for it. So I hope and pray you're right. And I'm just going to say this one more time before we get off the show here and stuff, that I am thanking God every day that we have a CEO, a man who has actually built something, a man who has actually worked for a living running this country right now. And, thank you, Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Right, right.
Thank you, Jesus, and pray for our president every single day. Everyone out there needs to be praying for our president. He's fighting a war of biblical proportions right now. He needs all of our help.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. My day started 03:30, so I got to get out of here. I can't hang around any more stuff. So I don't know. What are you planning to do there, Joseph?
Right. Well, we'll go ahead and close it, and we'll come back on Thursday night. We'll see what happens. I mean, every day is interesting and brand new. It's a brand new, interesting thing that's going on, you know. And everything.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, Russell, we called. I got a lot of people telling me, you know, complimenting us. We called every shot on this. All the shots we called.
Well, you know, that goes all the way back. I don't know how long I've joined you and Ann on this and stuff, but. You know, Ann does amazing research and she does some really good stuff. And learn from her, and then, you know, I have my connections and that kind of stuff, and, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out, you know, you just have to be a little bit tactical, see what's going on,
right.
And prepared, and I like something Ann said the other day on Facebook and stuff, you know, and people laughed at me and this and that, and oh, my God, I was paranoid and all this kind of stuff because of being a prepper and all this kind of stuff. And now they're coming to me going, hey, can you help us? You know?
Right. Right.
We've been telling y'all this is coming for years. You know, some of us have been preparing for this for years. And
oh, man.
You know,
yeah, we have been. I made a huge mistake listing some of my ammo on the Facebook, because my family hit me up so hard. They're like, oh, you have all that extra 9mm? So my nephew hit me up for 200 rounds a day. My stepdad wanted some. I'm like, look, I love you guys, but I text my nephew. I was like, but I'll just be honest with you. At one of the bug outs I go to, I said, you have to have 1,000 rounds of 9mm and a 9mm in a pack of heirloom seeds for your golden ticket to get in that bug out spot. So you can't have but 200 rounds, and that's all you get, because I have to have that. That's my golden ticket, you know. And a lot of people don't understand there's golden tickets for bug outs. And I said, well, they go, well, we didn't know that. I said, because you weren't invited. You know, that's why you don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, let's just hope next time on this bug out, Anna, you don't fail like you did the last time. I never will forget that.
You know, that's something I said the other night, and, you know, Ann's not alone on that. A lot of us have made that same mistake and stuff, but it came to me a couple years ago, man, and
then I've run some of my stuff down. But you know, when it's time to go, you know, and I learned a lot from Ann about plants and that kind of stuff and what you can survive on and out there and stuff. But you know, what's anything that you can't load up into the vehicle you're bugging out on, you're leaving it behind, and it's a fairly good chance that it's going to be helping the bad guys and not the good guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I posted the other day, I was kind of just joking around, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I've got this gun, and I only have 200 rounds. I have this gun, I only have 200 rounds. But there's a reason for that. But the guns that I plan on taking on a bug out, when I practice my bug out, I found out real soon that, and I know this is sacrilegious, but I found out real fast that I had too many guns and too many ammo, and if we had to bug out on foot, I was having to leave that. And so I started focusing on the ammo that we could carry out and the weapons that we would be carrying, and that's what I've been focused on. So even though I kind of made it look like I was kind of a little maybe airheaded or blonde and didn't know what I was doing, I knew exactly what I was doing, exactly how many rounds I have and for what weapon and what bag they go in and who's going to carry them and what weight they can carry. Because that's really important, because bug out bags are very heavy. And when you got kids, you know, and you've got to move, you've got to watch this stuff, you know? So I realized for the first time, that's why I quit buying so much ammo, because I knew I had enough to hold up here for a lot forever, but I didn't need so much, because I'll probably be dead after a certain amount of time of shootout, right? And I can't carry it, so.
Well,
reality.
You know, and the thing that I've came to learn, and of course, Ed and I learned a lot from each other in our time together and stuff like that. Now, I've got my bug out, you know, I got my bug out stuff to where it'll all fit in my vehicle, everything I'm going to take, and I can go for a fairly good length of time on what I can get in my Jeep, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to hit the ground on the run stuff and I have to burn my Jeep, what I have in my bug out pack and stuff like that, I can actually live on what I've got in there in kind of indefinitely, you know, for a period of time. I carry just some fishing line, some hooks. I've got a couple snares in there and stuff. And anyway, I've got my bug out bag down to about 22 kilos, which is about 45 pounds, which isn't excessively heavy, and you can still move quickly with it, but it's not going to be burdensome, and it's something that's not going to wear you out.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I just said, I don't know, brother, you know, just got to be ready and everything, and hope you know, scope out your place and fill that place up with what you can't take, fill that place up, fill that spot up,
Russell was talking about the time we spend together. Well, the time that we spend together, you're talking about coming out on Friday night and not being on your phones and not watching TV and doing nothing but train from Friday night all night. Friday night, that's the funnest part. All day Saturday, all night Saturday night, all day Sunday. That's a real quality time. So you learn a lot from each other. And one of the things that Russell hooked me up was on one of these little propane gas little stove things that fits right in your backpack. And, boy, I mean, I'll tell you what, that thing is worth its weight in gold, and that's one of my best favorite things. Thank you, Russell. But he also turned it into tents, to little small tents, which I always use the tarp, and I can actually carry a little small tent in my backpack easier than I can a tarp, because they're pretty big and bulky, but I still carry both. But that was a pretty good tip, and I never thought about, because I'm real hardcore, you know, I'm just like, you got to use a tarp, you know, but thanks, Russell. He made my life a lot better, night vision, and learned how to read topographical maps. So, like, in my bug out bag, I have all the topographical maps and the night lights and the magnifying glass and all the stuff for longitude and latitude, so that has been a huge help if I ever have to bug out, just knowing how to navigate, you know.
You know, and you know, and on the flip side of that, you know, we worked tactics, we ran night op, we did all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, there's a lot of stuff that and you as far as plants and that sort of thing, you know, what's edible, what's not, what's medicinal, what you can use for this and that. I learned a whole lot from her on that kind of stuff. And I
thank you.
And the biggest, my favorite is the toothache. That's really an awesome deal, man. And I can't for the life of me remember what it's called, but it has little like squares on the tree that's got one thorn in them, and you can peel that off, and you can take that bark, and just to test it, you can put it in your mouth against your gum or whatever like that. And I'm talking about in probably less than a minute, man, that whole area of your mouth is numb, and it has no side effects. It doesn't make you drowsy or anything like that, man. That was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't never remember the names of them a lot of times because, you know, you're looking at different regions and different areas with different plants, and it gets kind of confusing. But what I did was I printed out the main ones that are in our, say, 200-mile radius or 300-mile radius, and I printed them out, really good pictures of them, and made sure that I knew the side effects and things I was and was not supposed to do, and put them like in a little laminated folder that fit in my bug-out bag. And I also have a little handbook that I carry in my bug-out bag because when you get out there and you start looking at those plants and you're tired and, you know, and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you know how you get, and you
yeah.
look at it, it can actually be quite confusing because you know, when you're going like that, it just takes everything out of you and sometimes your mind too, you know. So it really helps. I would suggest for everyone to put one of those, just a little small thing in your backpack, because you will forget and it's really hard to identify so many of those plants. Even though I'm really good at them, if I don't do them every single year, I go out and I'm like, oh gosh, what did I remember about this plant? And I have to go back and look again, you know. So it doesn't, at my age, it doesn't always stay with you, you know. It's confusing and it can be deadly if you don't know what you're doing.
I want to say one more thing about Ann here and stuff like that. When she first came out there and joined us, she came out there on a mission to learn and stuff like that. And she picked up on that tactical stuff like she was bred for it. And I tell you what, the teams I run are very, very good, very, very efficient. And I tell you what, Ann can run on any of my teams any day of the week.
Sir, I really appreciate that from a combat veteran. I really do. It's a high honor, if you don't even know. But I do appreciate it. Today, whenever I was in the house by myself and there's not as many vehicles here, because my husband, my roommate, who's a male, and my cousin, who stays outside temporarily, he's working down here for the pipeline, none of them were home. So all these trucks are missing. It's just my car, so I look real vulnerable. All of a sudden, Ivanka and Dixie start raising hell. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Somebody's going to break in. I ran. I grabbed my Glock. You know, I held it in the low ready in a safe position. Pied around the corner. I was like, it's FedEx. Okay, you're live. I was texting Russell the other day, and I was like, Russell, I'm so bored. I'm literally fixing to put on my ghillie suit, leave the door open, and go outside and wait for robbers. And he's like, I sit in my garage with my big gun. would you say you had your garage door open and sitting there naked?
Yeah, it was a lot of times sitting there naked, waiting on. Somebody came back and said, "That's baiting, man." I said, "Call it what you want. I'm bored."
Right. I'm like, I cropped out that stuff and posted it. I was like, "You got your friends, I got mine. Whatever."
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to close the show, and we'll come back on in next this Thursday night, same time, same bat channel, and all that good stuff. But I tell you what, we'll see what's going to happen because, you know, anything's possible within the next 24 hours or so. Russell, you be safe.
Well, just one last thing. America, keep this in mind. Keep your head on the swivel. Pay attention to your observational awareness and stuff. And remember all this. Remember, right now, we're living through history being made. This is our hour to shine. This is our hour to shine. This is our hour to become possibly the next greatest American generation out there, all right? This is our time. So let's make the best of it. It is what it is. Keep your heads on a swivel. Keep your powder dry. And the purpose of your secondary is to get you to your primary. That's all I got.
Yep.
And love you, girls.
Ooh, raw devil dog.
Talk
Ooh,
to
raw
you
devil
soon. You know, we'll talk to y'all later. I'm going to walk these mutts and get some sleep. So, good night, America. This is Gunny out.
All right, brother. We'll see you
Wolfpack
Thursday.
Radio. Yeah, check me out on Wolfpack Radio. That's PAQ, not PACK. It's Wolf PAQ Radio on YouTube and on Blog Talk. And my URL for Blog Talk is WWG1WGA. So thank you, Russell and Ron.
All
righty. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, you're welcome. You know, you're part of this group, too. You always have been, you know. And we started this together and everything. So looks like we're going to see it through together. But anyway, we'll be back Thursday night. Y'all be careful out there and be safe. And remember, social distancing. All right, America. We'll see you Thursday night. Good night.
Well, I see him on the TV preaching about the promised land. Tells me believing Jesus steals the money from my hands. Some say he was a good man. Lord, I think he's sinning.